Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Killing of the Demon Trinivarta, and Text 8 has no purport, so we'll just read the translation. When Mother Jasoda and the other ladies were assembled for the Utana festival, and all the men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, saw the wonderful situation, began to wonder how the hand cart had collapsed by itself. Began to wander here and there, trying to find the cause, but they were unable to do so. Text 9. Ucher avya sita matin. Gopan gopis chabalaka. Rudratanena padena. Shivam etan na samshaya. Uchu said, Avyasita Matin, who had lost all intelligence in the present situation. Gopan, to the cowherd men. Gopicha, and to the ladies. Balaka, the children. Rudata anena. As soon as the child cried, Padena, with one leg. Shipam etat. This cart was dashed apart. Immediately fell dismantled. Nisamshayaha. There is no doubt about it. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The assembled coward men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. Is it the work of some demon or evil planet? They asked. At that time, the small children present asserted that the cart had been kicked apart by the baby Krishna. As soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart had collapsed. There was no doubt about it. Purport. We have heard of people being haunted by ghosts. Anyone here ever been haunted by a ghost? People in Sylvania are ghost-proof. Having no gross material body, the ghosts seek shelter of a gross body to stay in and haunt. Especially if you go on traveling Sankirtan, you stay at different places. You're bound to come to a place where there's someone waiting to greet you.
Especially when you have to watch out for the
seventh day. Oh, yes, sure. They take shelter in the bottle. They come on home with you. The Sakatasura was a ghost who had taken shelter of the handcart. He was looking for an opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. When Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled. As already described, this was possible for Krishna because he has full potency, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritimanti pashanti panti kalyanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadat ujvalat vigrahasya govindam adi purusham Tamaham Vajami. Krishna's body is Sachit Ananda Vigraha, or Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. That is, any of the parts of his Ananda Chinmaya body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Lord does not need to acquire these potencies. He already has them. Thus, Krishna kicked his little legs, and the whole purpose was fulfilled. Also, when the hand cart broke, an ordinary child would have been injured in many ways. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enjoyed the dismantling of the cart, and nothing injured him. Everything done by him is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, full of transcendental bliss. Thus Krishna factually enjoyed. The nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart. And this was how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost. But in fact, everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed him, by him. So something bad happens to you. It could be a ghost, could be a bad planet, or it could be Krishna. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. They are liberated from the material platform. Thus, when one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sagunan samititayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Thus, one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. Or in other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. This hearing is so important that anyone who hears Krishna Katha is on the platform of liberation. Actually, where is that person? Nivritti Tarshira Kamiyamanas Pavoshit Chotram Viram Ramat. Kautama Shloka Gunan Varadat Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugnat. Nivritti Tarshira, one is released from Upagiyamanat. Nivritti Tarshira, being released from material attachment or material lust or material activities. Upagiyamanat, by describing about Bhava Oshadat, which Oshadat means medicine. So the actual disease that we're suffering from is material consciousness. And because we have material consciousness, we're constantly engaged in two things: hankering for a happy material life and lamenting the fact that we can never get one. Sounds like a lose-lose situation. We want to be happy in this material body, and indeed there is some happiness. There's eating, which is a momentary pleasure. There's sleeping, which we're not even aware of when we're, how much happiness we're getting from sleeping. And then there's mating, which doesn't last for very long either. And there's a lot of problems that come along with that. Then there's defending. Matter of fact, everyone is always in the mood of, in Kali Yuga, everyone's in the mood of defending. Even if no one's going to attack you physically, we're always wary of someone who might say something to harm my false ego, which is the most painful thing. Sticks, as they say in English, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. Actually, they say names will never harm me, but we're very much cautious about our false ego that is always protected so that everyone thinks the best of my material body, my material words, and my delicate mind, which is always wanting to get some glorification, some comfort, something that makes it feel good. In fact, we live in the material world just to feel good. And to feel good, we go through so many difficulties. To feel good, we put ourselves in so many difficult situations where we feel bad. And then suddenly, if we can feel good for a second, we think we've accomplished what we're trying to accomplish. We feel good for a moment. But Nivritti Darshara Upagiyamanas Bhavoshida. So this is the medicine for our material disease. First of all, we have to consider the fact that we might be diseased. After all, Krishna said, we're eternal, but in this temporary world, where we're working hard to become happy here, and because of long association with the material energy, and because of constantly hearing about the possibilities of becoming happy here. After all, on every billboard, there's always a happy, smiling face. You never see a billboard with a person selling something, he's on crutches. I bought this new car, it crashed. Now I'm crippled for my life. But I enjoyed it while I had it. You should get it too. And by the way, these crutches are first class. There's no billboard like that. Some morose person in the hospital advertising for the newest shampoo. Everything's bad in this place, but my hair is good. So I'm satisfied. Now the whole material world is full of advertisement, how to become happy, and no one quite makes it. It's all false propaganda. There is some happiness, but as we've heard many times, it's one drop of water in the desert. And we value that drop like anything. It's on every billboard. It's advertised in every commercial. It's taught in school. Go after that drop. That's the only thing that exists that's worthwhile. Get that drop. People are protesting, we don't have the drop. We don't have the drop. Give me the drop. That's the whole material world. It's a desert and everyone's working hard to get the drop or protesting that they don't have it. But Bhavoshita Chotra Mina Upadurama. There is a nectar ocean hearing about Krishna, but we have to hear it. So the problem is not the nectar is not within Krishna's name or his quality or his pastimes, etc. The quality is we can't hear them. We're trying to enjoy the feast with a glove over our tongue. It's very difficult to taste the feast. As long as we keep the glove on. We have to take the glove on. And the glove is our material conceptions. Our distractions. Our material attachments. The things that take our mind away from Krishna. So if we concentrate our mind and upon Krishna, then we'll discover there's a whole world inside my heart, inside my consciousness. There's a television. And right now, externally, we're turned on to the material television, channel Maya, going through the different stations on channel Maya. But inside our heart, there's actually channel Krishna. And we can turn on to channel Krishna by hearing about him. And we can gradually fine-tune that hearing so that actually Krishna's form, his quality, his pastimes, and his associates, they all appear within our heart, and we're able to experience what the spiritual existence is like. If Krishna is not in our heart, then how can we experience Krishna consciousness? And how do we know if we're experiencing, if we're actually listening? Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. That hearing about Krishna is supposed to be full of rasa. Pleasure. We should be happy. But hearing is not so easy because under the modes of material nature we get distracted. Especially ignorance. ignorance says, when we hear that Krishna is God, we don't like that very much. Takes away our opportunity to become God ourselves. It seems unfair that there's a person, eternally he's God. That leaves me out eternally. That's quite a disappointment. After trying since time immemorial to become the enjoyer in this, one of the enjoyers in the material world at least, and a controller of the material energy, we find out we've never been able to accomplish it. And not only that, being here for since time immemorial, we haven't even made any progress. What a disappointment. What a philosophy. Who wants to hear this philosophy? Now we heard the philosophy, you're all great souls, you're all eternal, and that you're doing so many wonderful things, and I can see how much happiness you're getting from all doing all these wonderful things. So you're almost there, keep it up. Just a little, only time separates you from becoming the Supreme. Then we think, well, this person is saying something valuable. He's encouraging us. He's making us feel good. We walked around away from the lecture enlivened. And this lecture says, you're all rascals. You're fools and imitators. You're suffering because you're trying to become something you can never become, namely God. Give up this nonsense and follow Krishna's instructions. And boy, this guy's heavy. Where did he come from? What side of the bed did he wake up on? Why is he in such a bad mood today? Give him some prasadam, maybe he'll feel better. No, nirutitarashara upigiyamanas bhavosha jas chodra manobi ramat. So if the shrotra, if the process of oral reception is there, and mana, the mind, or the thought of the mind, is on Krishna, then kautama shloka gunanu varada. So by describing such activities about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the mind becomes purified. And everyone should become attracted because, first of all, the very basic philosophy that we're eternal. Without that, how can anyone even begin to conceive of becoming happy in the material world? How can we be without anxiety unless we understand that we're eternal? If you think, if we told you to, right now, you have 24 hours to live, you say, oh my God, what do you mean? Are you threatening me? What religion do you belong to? Or we said you have 50 years left to live. You say, oh, what a relief. 50 years, that's a long time. But it's going to go as if it was a second. Oh my God, what is he talking about? Don't tell me that. Just tell me I have 50 long, long years to live. No, without knowing that we're eternal, how can anyone be happy? Nasti buddhiya yuktasya, nati yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha pavyuntak shantir, ashantasya kutak sukham. That one who's not in the divine or Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So without understanding our intelligence being fixed on our eternality, the mind cannot be peaceful. And without being peaceful, how can we be happy? So at least we know the background that we're eternal, and that we know there's some person up there who likes us. The person who's controlling everyone doesn't think, oh, I don't like this soul, I don't like his face, I think I'll cause him some problems. No, he likes everyone, he loves everyone. He's the best wisher of everyone. And therefore, whatever happens to us, if we can understand it properly, then we can become peaceful, that I'm not being attacked unfairly, I'm not being picked on by anyone. Even the material energy is not picking on me. They just don't like me for some reason. Or Krishna woke up and, as I said, he just is in a bad mood. He got into a fight with Radharani and he's taking it out on me. It's not like that. No, if we understand everything properly, then we can have a controlled mind and steady intelligence. If we understand everything properly, we can have a steady intelligence, which will help us control our minds and put them on Krishna. So this 10th canto is all about that. Virite tarshera upagyamanas, glorifying Krishna, and it's the medicine. We don't like medicine sometimes, it's bitter, because we'd like to think that we're doing all right. We don't want anyone to think that there's something wrong with me. Especially nowadays, even if you have a little pimple on your nose, you got to cover it over. People think, I thought they were, you were perfect. Where did this come from? Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's not there anymore. Everyone's so afraid of being seen as less than perfect. We're afraid if they see me as less than perfect, a little weak, they're going to pick on me. Hey, you little guy over there, come over here. I think I'll hit you a few times. Wait a second, I'm a strong little guy. Watch out. I see this black belt. I just bought it yesterday. I mean, it's good. I'm a black belt in something. So, to understand that we need medicine, we need the transcendental medicine of Krishna consciousness. It's necessary to hear about Krishna. It's not like one of the options. Oh, just because I'm living in the temple, I got to go to hear about Krishna just to show everyone I'm a good person. I don't have any taste for it. Matter of fact, I'd rather not do it. But I got to eat, so I'm here. No, it's the medicine we need. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and the end is like nectar, which wakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So we come and we try to hear with the right attitude. That's why we have this Vyasasan, because someone sits on the Vyasasan, we're supposed to respect what they're saying. Although we may have a hard time doing that. But that's the whole idea. It's not that someone sitting on the Vyasasan, the air up here is a little bit purer so they can speak better. It helps my pranayama. No, the whole idea is to show a little respect for the person who's sitting on the Vyasasan. Not for the sake of the person, it's for the sake of the audience. That they can think, well, this is the time I'm supposed to listen to this person. Otherwise, during the day, someone's speaking to us, we pay no attention to it. We're just waiting for them to stop speaking so we can say what actually we think is valuable. But when one sits on the Vyasasan, we're obliged, we're supposed to be obliged to listen to what they're saying without trying to counteract it within our mind. He's saying Krishna is God. Oh, that's a falsehood. I don't believe that. They keep on saying the same thing. Same thing every class. Krishna is God. I'm sick of it. Tell me something a little bit more enlivening. You're not the body. Oh my God. You're still on that platform. You're still saying, haven't you progressed at all? Such a neophyte. Doesn't know anything else except that he's eternal. Oh, how boring. No, we're supposed to sit there with an open mind and hear about it so that we can actually learn something about Krishna. It doesn't matter who's sitting here. If they're repeating the words, it's the words we're trying to respect and allow to enter into our mind and consider with our intelligence so we can actually put our mind on it. If the words are intelligent and we use our intelligence and we analyze them and conceive of them, then we can accept them within our heart and relish them and cherish them. Then we can change our attitude. We may have the wrong attitude when we're sitting there, but if we can hear something intelligent and allow it to our intelligence to accept it and think about it, then we may appreciate it. And if we appreciate it, then we can feel how good, how wonderful this idea is. Then it becomes a burden. Oh my God, he's going to tell me I'm eternal. Then he's going to tell me I'm not my body. My God. I know he doesn't have a nice body, but you know, he doesn't know what it's like to have a good body. Then he's going to tell me that Krishna is God. He's going to criticize me, that I'm trying to become God. I'm not trying to become God. I am God. I'm special. No, we have to sit there and hear about how nice Krishna is, how nice he is for everyone, how nice we could be if we accept Krishna and serve him, how our real identity will come out. And that's supremely nice, that everyone is absolutely nice. Everything is absolutely nice. But we have to accept the process of becoming nice. Otherwise, we remain in the most material nature. And the soul may be nice, but he's covered by things that are not so nice. So it doesn't make him so nice. Just like a person may be very beautiful, but if he covers himself with stool and other things, then he's not very nice association. Like one person thought, he heard that the Yamadutas were going to come and take him away. So he covered himself with stool, thinking now they won't touch me because I smell so bad. Anyhow, they came, they sprayed him with water, and then took him away. So, the soul is perfect and pure. It's just covered by these impurities. So this hearing will take it away and bring us to the platform, our normal platform of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Because we're an illusion. It's like when you're dreaming and someone comes with a knife in the dream, they're going to stab you. What do you feel like? What's that? You feel afraid, don't you? But when you wake up, you realize that you're not, it wasn't really happening. It was just a dream. How do you feel? You feel relieved. So we're dreaming right now, that's all. This is our daydream. We're thinking something's going to happen to me when it happens to my body. So therefore we're afraid. But the body is just it's the daydream we have. Just like we have bodies at night, we have a night dream. Just the only difference is one lasts a little bit longer than the other. Otherwise they're both dreams. They're real. It's going on, but it's our misunderstanding of what's going on that causes the problem. There's a dream, it's happening. We think we're the body in the dream. Something's going to happen to us. But when we wake up, we realize it was just a dream. It wasn't my body, it's not me. So when we find out who we actually are, then we'll understand that whatever happens to this body is not happening to me. It's just happening to the body. And we won't be afraid anymore. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for the lecture. So I have a question about Vaishnava Bharat. Is it like within the marriage, within the family, does it take the same effect as if you argue with some devotee like in the temple?
Depends who your wife is. If your wife is Putana, then But if she's a devotee, of course. As soon as we think badly of a devotee, immediately we get covered.
So that
all the good qualities that devotee has become more or less eliminated from our portfolio. So even if we think this is my wife, but it's actually not my wife. It is my wife. The body is my wife, so-called wife. But actually there's a soul inside that body, and inside the soul there's Krishna. So who I'm really dealing with is soul and Krishna. So if I don't deal with them properly, then I get into trouble. Whoever it is. It's not that my wife has a wife soul and someone else has a different soul. Everyone has a spirit soul with Krishna. Now that Krishna is not really in my wife's heart, but he's in everyone else's heart. Therefore, how I treat my wife doesn't really count, because Krishna is not really there. Or is the soul really there? It's my wife. It's not the soul or a Krishna. No, it's illusion. Therefore, treating our wife nicely, properly, is the basis of how we're going to probably treat everyone else too. We're going to do a fight with our wife. We're probably going to treat everyone else not so nicely either. And if we have a nice relationship with our wife, then we can apply that to so many other relationships too. Not exactly in the same way, but in this fact that there's a soul and the super soul there. And I'm serving them. So if the attitude is service, then how can we do anything wrong? Well, less likely do anything wrong if we have an attitude of service to everyone, including our wife, children, friends, everyone. If we have the attitude of service, and we pray to Krishna for the intelligence how to serve them, and we go through Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, then we'll have a nice relationship with everyone, including our family members. Anything else? Kanadarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.